Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Right now, though, here on LBC London News, I want to update you on what's happened with the latest coming to us from Donald Trump from America at the White House. In the last half an hour or so, he has said that his Singapore summit with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un may not work out for June the 12th and suggested there could be a delay. Let's get more on this from Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent. A very good evening to you, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
So the two are due to meet in Singapore. Is there any chance that this could be now off the cards?
Well, I think there is a strong chance it could be off the cards. Just as Donald Trump was beginning to dream of getting his fingers around that Nobel Peace Prize, just as I was beginning to dream of eating chili crabs and sipping a tiger beer in Singapore, suddenly there appears to be trouble in paradise. Kim Jong-un has indicated through North Korean government officials that he's not interested in the prospect of scrapping his nuclear arsenal. That, of course, is the principal reason that President Trump is interested in having a summit meeting with Kim Jong-un in Singapore next month. So it sounds as though there is a real possibility of at least a delay. Let's take a listen to what President Trump said to reporters in the Oval Office a short while ago.
We're moving along and we'll see what happens. There are certain conditions that we want, and I think we'll get those conditions. And if we don't, we don't have the meeting. And frankly, it has a chance to be a great, great meeting for North Korea and a great meeting for the world. If it doesn't happen, maybe it'll happen later. Maybe it'll happen at a different time. But we will see. But we are talking. The meeting scheduled, as you know, on June 12th in Singapore. And whether or not it happens, you'll be knowing pretty soon. But we're talking right now.
Now, he sounded a little bit more categoric later during the course of that interaction with reporters. He said that there is a chance it will work out and a substantial chance it won't work out. But he went on to say that doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time, adding that there is a good chance that eventually a meeting with Kim Jong-un may be held. You heard President Trump in that clip refer to conditions for the meeting. We had not previously heard from U.S. officials that they had laid down any preconditions for a meeting with Kim Jong-un. This is the first time they've indicated that there were preconditions laid down for a face-to-face meeting. That, of course, would be normal diplomatic procedure, but nothing about any of this has been normal diplomatic procedure so far. President Trump said that if North Korea came to the summit meeting and agreed to denuclearize, Kim Jong-un would be safe, his country would be prosperous, he would be free, and he would be rich. That is an indication, perhaps, of the kind of protections that President Trump is offering Kim Jong-un in the event that the two men reach some kind of an agreement. He loosely used the word protections for the North Korean leader a few days ago at the White House, again raising eyebrows, because traditionally successive U.S. governments, Democrat and Republican, have always insisted that Kim Jong-un is the illegitimate leader of North Korea, not democratically elected, a man who should be replaced by a government chosen by the North Korean people. So, look, I mean, everything is clearly up in the air as to whether the meeting takes place in Singapore next month or not. There are clearly now very substantial doubts about that. And the President of the United States walking back some of the warm and friendly things that he'd had to say over the last few days about the North Korean leader.
It's going to be pretty uncomfortable for Trump if it doesn't go ahead, isn't it?
Look, I mean, let's just be clear about how enthused and ready the White House was for this meeting. They had already produced a special commemorative coin. You can find pictures of it all over Twitter. You'll find it on my own Twitter account. A special commemorative coin to mark the meeting of Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. Let's be honest, Chris. They got way ahead of themselves. It was always going to be a high-risk strategy, agreeing even to a meeting with Kim Jong-un, because that provides the patina of legitimacy from the United States to the North Korean leader. And there's no surprise among Korea hands that over the last 10 days or so, the North Koreans have returned to far less friendly rhetoric towards both South Korea and the United States. Indeed, it would be surprising in a way if the North Koreans did simply glide their way to Singapore and show up to the summit, because that would indicate they were tearing up a playbook that successive North Korean leaders from the ruling family have used over the last 30 years. So there are enormous risks and complexities in terms of Donald Trump agreeing to meet Kim Jong-un, and it seems that perhaps some cooler heads at the White House, including John Bolton, the new National Security Advisor, have taken Donald Trump to one side and said, listen, we may be just racing into this, and that may not be our best strategy going forwards. Interesting that in that interaction with reporters, he appears, President Trump, to be indicating that he thinks the Chinese nobbled the North Korean leader during a recent visit that he made to China in an encounter with President Xi Jinping. He appears to be blaming the Chinese for the shift in rhetoric that occurred in Pyongyang over the last 7 to 10 days. And it's going to be interesting to see if reporters are able to follow up on that and see whether President Trump genuinely believes that Xi Jinping was acting to try and undermine the possibility of this summit meeting taking place.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Simon, but North Korea has form in this regard, don't they? Going ahead with planning meetings and wanting to have some sort of summits and then cancelling.
Masses and masses of form, Chris. I mean, if you look at the euphoria, the genuine euphoria that I think greeted that recent meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Moon in the demilitarized zone that separates North Korea from South Korea, that moment when Kim Jong-un stepped onto North Korean territory, North Korean soil, for the very first time in his life. I mean, that was a truly remarkable photo opportunity and appeared to symbolize a new detente in the relationship between North and South Korea. But look, there have been similar incidents, not albeit a North Korean leader setting foot on South Korean soil, but similar seeming breakthroughs in the past with Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, and previous South Korean leaders. And they all ended up being dashed on the rocks of what turned out to be North Korea's suspicions of South Korea and the West in general, and North Korea's ongoing refusal to give up its nuclear arsenal. This summit, from President Trump's perspective, is about two things. It's about a photo op where he gets to shake hands with Kim Jong-un and become history, the first American president to meet a sitting North Korean leader. But it's primarily about trying to negotiate what the White House has said has to be a watertight, verifiable agreement for North Korea to denuclearize. And all the rhetoric coming out of North Korea over the last week has been, if you think we're ready to denuclearize, you can forget about it. We are not interested in having done to us what was done to Libya, namely Gaddafi's stockpile, his nuclear stockpile and his chemical stockpile taken away from him. And then, of course, he fell from power subsequently. That is something that the North Koreans are latterly very engaged about and worried about. And it may well be the undoing of this summit meeting.
And Simon, whilst I've got you, can you just try and bring us up to date with what's happening with Donald Trump? And is your a lot of tweets on the subject of what's going on with these investigations, these continued investigations into the presidential campaign for Donald Trump. And the latest seems to be that there was possibly spies in his campaign.
Yes. Well, so let's look at this story from both ends of the prism so that we are fair to the Trump White House. President Trump and his supporters insist that in a politicized move, the FBI, under President Barack Obama, placed a spy inside the Trump campaign in a bid, they insist, to try and undo the prospects of President Trump winning the 2016 election. So he has now asked his Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, because remember, the Attorney General is recused from being involved in anything relating to Russia because he, Jeff Sessions, lied about his contacts with the Russians during the 2016 election campaign. He wants Rod Rosenstein, the Assistant Attorney General, and Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, to begin an investigation into whether there was an attempt to spy on the Trump campaign for political purposes. In the real world, we know that an FBI informant inside the Trump campaign was providing information to the FBI about communications that Trump campaign officials were having with the Russians during the 2016 election campaign. There is, in other words, no factual evidence to support the assertion that this informant was placed inside the campaign to do political damage to Donald Trump. Rather, it would appear that this informant was placed there to keep an eye on some top Trump operatives and to see if they were engaged in ongoing communications with the Russians. In other words, this was a key part of the Russia investigation, the initial suspicion that something odd was going on in the Trump campaign with the Russians. So what Donald Trump is essentially now trying to do, and I think it's fair to say that he's increasingly desperate in his approach to this, is to delegitimize the Robert Mueller probe into what went on in 2016. And to suggest that the FBI was being used politically by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton to discredit him and do down his attempt to become president of the United States. This is becoming an increasingly high-stakes game for the president of the United States, whose own lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, said a couple of days ago that he had been told that the Robert Mueller probe would be wrapped up by September the 1st, a claim that we now know to have been a complete falsehood. That information was never provided to Rudy Giuliani, and it was an attempt to posture and again put pressure on the Mueller team to wrap it up, move on, and move away from the President of the United States. These, Chris, remain very dangerous developments and very dangerous days for President Trump, and the pressure is going to mount on him to agree to an interview with that special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, and that interview is extremely hazardous for a president of the United States who often finds it very difficult to tell the truth.
Well, fascinating stuff as ever. Thank you very much to Simon Marks, our US correspondent there.